coming up today on the Lead to Succeed podcast.
We all have the same 86,400 seconds in a day. No one person's time is more valuable than another person's time. We're all, you know, granted that same amount of time today. And so when we have that opportunity as leaders, business owners, parents, friends, that and we're sitting down with somebody, their time is just as valuable as the listener's time. And so being able to communicate the fact that what they're sharing is of significant value, again, that creates rapport like nothing else that I've experienced.
Do you want to learn the tricks that top leaders use to get the most out of themselves and their teams? Well, Naftali Hoff is here to help. Lead to Succeed picks the brains of top leaders to learn about their challenges, insights, and best practices. Here's Naftali. Hello, Lead to Succeed Nation. I'm Naftali Hoff, and welcome to another episode of Lead to Succeed. This episode's interesting fact is, one study found that among 300,000 podcast listeners, 63% bought something that a host had promoted on their show. Of that same group, 71% said they had visited a sponsor's website, while 62% said that they would consider paying for the advertised product or service. Our guest today can offer some perspective on all of those numbers. Stephen Wozner is the founder and CEO of Predictive ROI, a digital marketing agency and the host of Onward Nation, a top-rated daily podcast for learning how today's top business owners think, act, and achieve. Onward Nation is listened to in 113 countries around the world. Stephen is the author of three books, including the number one bestseller, Profitable Podcasting. His digital marketing insights have been featured in Forbes.com, Entrepreneur.com, The Washington Post, and Inc. Magazine. I got to know Stephen through a common friend and was honored to be able to guest on his podcast. It was a real treat for me, and I'm sure that Lead to Succeed Nation is going to love this conversation. Stephen, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, you're very welcome, but thank you for the invitation. And that was really great of Henry to make that initial introduction so that you could be an awesome guest on Onward Nation, which you were. And so I'm delighted that you invited me to be a guest on your great show.
Thank you so much, Stephen. And it's interesting, you mentioned Henry, so I'll just pull the curtain back. Henry is Henry DeVries, who is my publisher for my book, Becoming the New Boss. And it's interesting because Henry, actually, the podcast I did with him was just released yesterday. Oh, we're recording this in the middle of November. So it's really great how the whole world kind of circles back a little bit. But let's jump right into that conversation because I loved, you know, I think as a guest, and I've been blessed to guest on a number of different programs to talk about my book and my experience and all of that. I really enjoyed being on your program because I felt that you had a great way of making me, and I'm sure all of your guests, feel very comfortable, very endearing and open. But there's one technique in particular that I noticed, and I wanted to drill down on it if I could, because to me, it's not just a great podcasting technique. You know, if anyone's listening that has a podcast or is interested in it, I think they'll find great value in this. But I'm really thinking of it from every leader's perspective in terms of how they can lead in an optimized way, how they could really connect. And what you did was you summarized what I said in just a few words, and then you asked for a clarification, something as simple as, did I get that right? And that allowed me to go deeper. And so I wanted to know why and how you're using that strategy. And do you agree with me that leaders should be doing the same thing when they're having conversation and listening to others?
I think so. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, that technique that I learned originally from Stephen Covey, it's in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People about how to be a good listener and reflecting that back. And that really tells the person, and not just tells, but really demonstrates that you're paying attention and that you're engaged in the conversation and that what they're sharing with you is impactful. But then also you want to make sure that you're getting it right. And so you're asking for that clarification, like you just said. So I originally learned that lesson from, you know, Stephen Covey, but then also several of our guests, you know, early on guests like Drew McClellan, like John Livesey, you know, they kind of remarinated me in that lesson, if you will, and about the power of reflecting and how one that can make your guests feel, but then how it's a great technique, you know, to go a little bit deeper without your guests feeling like you're probing. But ultimately, it really, above anything else that I've experienced, shows your guests that one, you're really paying attention, they're delivering value, and two, that their time is valuable to you, which is why you're paying attention. So it's been exceptionally valuable technique.
Beautiful. I actually write about this in the book that I've written because of the fact that really, it's really important, I think, for all leaders to do this, but specifically for new leaders is what I found. And the reason is because, you know, you really need to be able to build equity early on, get people to be able to talk to you, to feel like you're open to what they have to say, and that you're not just going to walk in and ram through your agenda. I know you work with leaders of all different types, all different types of businesses. Do you think that in terms of listening, that there's really any difference where a person is in the process? In other words, whether they're just sort of getting on board or they've been there for a really long time, do you notice, do you feel that there's any difference as far as the listening approach? Or do you think that's really a universal concept that needs to be applied in all circumstances?
I think it's a universal approach that should be applied in all circumstances, whether we're talking about business context or, you know, your 10-year-old daughter is sitting on your knee telling you about her day, as often happens when Caitlin comes home from school, my daughter. And so when she tells me about her day, and then I'll say something like, okay, so I think if I heard you right about the assignment, it's this, this, and that. Did I get that right? Or is there something more you want to share? And then that opens and peels the onion, you know, to something else. Or maybe she wants to tell me about something else in her day. It keeps that conversation going. But the key is, it makes the person you're listening to feel valued because they are. And it also opens up that conversation for another level of depth and so forth. And all of that really gets wrapped into the rapport building. So I don't think it matters if you're talking about, you know, developing a deeper relationship with your kids, with colleagues, with friends, whatever. It's a great technique to really show that what they're sharing with you is really important to you, and that, more importantly, the relationship that you have with that person is important to you.
Unbelievable. Lead to Succeed Nation, this is absolute gold, and I hope that everybody is taking this in. I'm hearing the concept of being a great listener, the concept of peeling back the onion, so to speak, and getting deeper, as well as another piece that you mentioned a couple of times, a little bit in passing, but I think there's a lot of depth there. And I'd love for you, if you'd like, to take it a little bit further with it. The notion that when you're listening the way that you're describing, it really adds value, not only to the conversation, but a feeling that a person's time is being respected. Did I get that right, Stephen?
Yeah, you did. And you're right, because, I mean, we all have the same 86,400 seconds in a day. No one person's time is more valuable than another person's time. We're all, you know, granted that same amount of time today. And so when we have that opportunity as leaders, business owners, parents, friends, that and we're sitting down with somebody, their time is just as valuable as the listener's time. And so being able to communicate the fact that what they're sharing is of significant value, again, that creates rapport like nothing else that I've experienced.
That's beautiful. It's interesting because I've been, you know, talking about podcasts and listening to content and sort of, digesting it that way and consuming it. Another thing that I love to do is listen to audiobooks. And I've been listening to Brendan Burchard and specifically High Performance Habits. And he's talking in a different context when he says this, but he talks about how sometimes high performers can fall into a trap and think that because of the great accomplishments that they've experienced and enjoyed, that they're somehow fundamentally superior. And I think that that's a trap that many leaders fall into, that we, you know, our ego gets the best of us and we start to think of ourselves in a way that's a little bit less humble. And the point you just mentioned about everybody having the same amount of time and everybody wanting to be able to maximize that time, I think is a great idea and really hopefully will refocus all of us on the fact that other people's time is just as valuable as ours. And there's this notion today of being busy, this concept of we have so many things we want to accomplish. We have to be mindful and respectful of other people's time as well. And that's a beautiful point, Stephen. So thank you for that.
Very welcome. And I do think that you know, we could all use maybe a little bit more humility, right? And not getting too big for our britches. And I hear that from my team all the time. They'll take care of something for me, you know, proactively and say, well, you don't have the time to deal with that. And so we just wanted to do that for you. And I am grateful, you know, for them doing that and in the grace in which that happened. But at the same time too, I need to be able to say to them how much I appreciate them investing their time to get that done for me. Mm-hmm. And that's what builds a great team. That's what builds a great culture, when we can all recognize that we're taking care of each other, that we're listening to one another, that we're edifying each other when appropriate to do so, that we're providing great feedback, and so that everybody knows that their contribution is valued, because it ought to be.
Mm. It really should. You know, I think we could spend the rest of our time just staying on this topic, because there's so much depth here, and I'd love to, but I would be remiss if I didn't transition us a little bit over to some of the other fantastic work you're doing. And specifically now I'm talking about the podcasting work, though, of course, there's much more to your profile as well. So I'd like to ask you a question there, if I may, specifically to, you know, you're a busy guy, you had plenty of stuff going on prior to getting your podcast off the ground. So what motivated you to do it, and what motivated you to really maintain it and continue to build it?
Well, it, you know, in full transparency, I mean, it was May of 2015, and you know, my core business is called Predictive ROI, and we're a content marketing lead gen shop. At least that's the way that we would describe ourselves back in, you know, May of 2015, and it's really gone through a very interesting metamorphosis since then. But you know, the reality is that we had lost a key account. We were overstaffed, and we were in a really serious financial situation. And so I was frustrated, because even though we had done our work with excellence for clients, we were not doing a very good job for ourselves. You know, the cobbler's kids have no shoes. And so we did not have a full pipeline of well-prepared prospects and leads and so forth. And I was sitting at my dining room table, I pounded my fist on the table, and I'm like, this has got to change. And so and we had owned onwardnation.com for 12 months before that. I'm like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to launch a podcast. It's going to be a daily show. I'm going to interview business owners. We're going to build a platform. It's just going to be awesome. And we're going to do that in 30 days. And that was the extent of the business strategy, which obviously that's not much of a strategy. And so, you know, thankfully we did launch it 30 days later, June 15th. And then an interesting thing happened. We had a couple of our guests come back to me and say, you know, that have been guests on the show, and come back to me and say, hey, could you do that for us? And I'm like, do what for you? And they're like, oh, for Pete's sake, could you build us a podcast? And here again, we are still in the boy, we need revenue kind of mode. And I'm like, yes, we can. Absolutely. You bet we can do that. And we did, and it worked fine. And everything ran smoothly. And I mean, I'm, you know, kind of glossing over some of the building a system and this and that. But, and then a couple months later, one of those, you know, clients came back to me and said, hey, the podcast you built for me, which is Build a Better Agency, hosted by Drew McClellan, the podcast you built for me, it's awesome. And Onward Nation's awesome. Why in the world are you not doing that for others? I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, well, that's dumb. You need to get this figured out. So fast forward a few weeks later, we sold about $250,000 worth of podcasting services in about 6 weeks. And I'm like, huh, I think we might be onto something. And, you know, so 2 years ago, and our business has gone through, you know, major transformation since then. And the podcast, along with other things, is really driving our biz dev right now.
Mm. Wow, that was some dinner. Well, that all came together. I'd love to get the recipe, but that's unbelievable. So you went from a challenging situation, I heard, to really finding a solution, even though you didn't fully see it as the solution at that particular time, perhaps, but it definitely grew, and one thing led to another. And it's also interesting what I heard regarding having your clients sort of drive your business, mm-hmm. in the sense of, you know, giving you their ideas. And I've had that experience as well, where I find that, you know, you're thinking about something that all of a sudden they say to you, well, I really need this. And then you went and delivered it. And it sounds like it's been gangbusters ever since.
Well, it has certainly been the driving force behind our business, gangbusters, using your word. I think that is accurate. And there's trials and tribulations with everything, right? Especially when you're changing business models and tech and people and systems. And thankfully, we've had an amazingly awesome core team you know, who are super committed to one another to make this work. Predictive ROI, we have a team of 15 people, and we've grown through that period of time. But then paying attention to your client, to your customer, and being able to deliver what it is that they want, and then being able to think through that. I mean, it was a painful process, and we didn't get it right the first time. I mean, it went well, but it didn't go perfect. And then thankfully, Drew is one of those clients who is like, you know what? I love you, but you need to know this is not running smoothly. Mm. I want to see this work well for you. So I'm going to give you some feedback. Going to be a little bit painful for you to take, but it's going to help you in the end. And isn't it great to have a client who loves you enough to put their arms around you and say, okay, I really care about you. This isn't right. I know you'll fix it. And I really want you to succeed over the long term. So I'm willing to be the first one. Let's get this right together. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. And it kind of brings me back to where you were before, talking about rapport building, in this case with your client rather than with your team. But it's the same concept. And that's beautiful. It really is. So I have a question for you then, because I know that your core business, and correct me if I'm wrong on this detail, is really marketing and branding related, but yet your podcast seems to move in somewhat of a different direction. I know our conversation was more leadership and success oriented than specifically marketing and branding. So if I'm getting this right, what was it about the podcast that you thought to move in slightly a different direction, and how has that opened up your business for you?
So our business and really kind of my style to business development has always been to sell, to network, to develop relationships with business owners. And so as opposed to, and I shouldn't say opposed, but you know, we work with our ideal client, our ideal avatar, if you will, is a business owner running a professional services firm that is doing about $1 million to $20 million a year. So we wanted to make sure that we created a community that people like that, we call her Sally, that people like Sally could come together and hang out and spend time with and learn from other business owners of the same ilk. Mm. And so we did not want to create a digital marketing podcast. Not that that's bad. And we just didn't want to build a community of, you know, digital marketers and so forth. And again, not that that community is bad. We just don't sell through to that community. So we wanted to make sure that we built a community who matched exactly our client avatar, which is Sally. And we spoke to Sally and shared content with Sally about the things that Sally really cares about, like mentorship, like leadership, like hiring and firing, like the critical skills that every business owner needs to master in order to thrive today, the success stories, the challenging stories, those kind of puke in the bucket moment stories, right? Because then Sally's like, oh my gosh, I have been there too.
Yeah.
And to get a lot of value out of that. And then once we built a nation of true fans around Sally, then we had a community that could really, really take predictive ROI or core business to that next level.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, this is incredible. And I'll tell you why. It happens to be right now, I'm going through, I guess you'd call a sprint type of program, where I'm really focusing in on some of the things you just talked about, identifying your ideal client, getting your messaging right, identifying what their needs are and what they will respond to. So talk us through that, if you don't mind, a little bit more. Why are you so laser focused on Sally, your avatar, and how has that helped you grow your business rather than trying to cast a little bit of a broader net into the broader business community?
Well, I think all of us have those opportunities where, you know, fish will swim into our net just by happenstance and say, hey, could you do this? And it's like, yeah, absolutely. Of course, we can do that. But I think that when we can get really, really clear on the business owners, in our case, who we really love to serve, then when we're in front of Sally, we're using her language, talking about stories that are meaningful to her, developing that rapport and relationship so that after the meeting, she says, oh my gosh, like you guys totally get me. Like you understand everything that has either happened to my business or what has me really concerned about reaching that next level. You've talked to thought leaders, other business owners, people who I would really love to meet, but they're already part of your network. And so then Sally walks away from that meeting thinking, these are absolutely the people that I need to have on my team and be doing business with, because they really understand me to the core of my DNA. And that only comes from being able to do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews with people just like her.
Mm. So more gold lead to Succeed Nation. Absolutely. And what I'm hearing here, I do want to shift in a minute because I've got so many other things I want to get to. But on this point for a second, you didn't use the word, I don't think, emotional, but that's what I'm thinking about, because so often they tell us that selling, we know this as well from our own experience, that selling is an emotional process. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you can make all the intellectual calculations and factor in all the rationale as to why something seems to work or make sense. But when we connect with somebody on a very deep emotional level, and we feel like they really, like you said, get us and get what we're all about, our challenges, our struggles, what our aspirations, all that stuff, then ultimately we want to be with that person because we feel a tremendous kinship with them. Is that what you're talking about, Stephen? Did I get it right?
Oh, spot on, my friend. You're exactly correct. Is like you said, as much as we like to think that we're logical, rational beings, we make decisions 100% of the time based on emotion and really driven by one word, one four-letter word, and that word is hope. That if I decide to buy X or engage, you know, said service provider, I'm doing that because I hope that by doing so, somehow tomorrow is going to be better than today. Mm. And that is, to your point, all about emotion. So if we ignore the emotional connection with Sally, we will lose. But if we pay attention to what keeps her up at night, what her dreams and aspirations are, who she wants to impress, and ultimately be able to answer the question of, can I trust you and can you do this for me and be able to do it in said period of time and prove to me that it's working? If we can answer those questions, we will be able to develop a relationship with Sally and show her that we value her.
Mm, yes, absolutely. So there are some listeners, many of our listeners, who are in the beginning of their leadership journey or just like to reflect. And I was wondering, Stephen, if you could, thinking about your journey, your experience, all the great things you've accomplished, as you indicated, it's not been a perfect, you know, upward trajectory. There were some bumps along the way. If you could start again, what would you consider doing differently and why?
I think I probably would have had a lot more patience all the way through, you know, childhood and high school. I just couldn't wait to be done and get on to the next level. And that was, for me, that was college. That was serving in the Air Force. And then when I was doing that, I couldn't wait to be married and to move that next level. And so at every stage in my career, and even to some extent now, I've always been in a hurry to get to that next thing. And I think that what that has done is, one, I'm super ambitious, but at the same time, I think I kind of missed some things along the way, that without just taking and having the patience to enjoy the moment for all the experience in which that it is, and then be able to learn all the nuance at that particular stage and not be in a hurry to get to that next thing. I wish I, like looking back on that now, I wish I would have done a little bit more of that as opposed to always thinking ahead 3-5 years. And so I'm sure you can, you know, talk to a number of different experts to say, no, you need to keep the vision 3-5 years ahead, blah, blah, blah. But I think I needed to enjoy the moment more.
Mm. Okay. I remember actually doing a blog piece on this, the concept of enjoy the journey, when I was writing the book, because I remember actually even before that, when I finished my doctorate, I had the same type of experience. You know, you get the degree, it arrives in the mail, you get notified in advance, email, because it happened to be a virtual course that I was participating in. And like, you expect this tremendous euphoric moment because I've been working for years towards this outcome. And then it's like, all right, you know,
and now what?
And the same thing is true with the book. You know, you expect this unbelievable feeling of accomplishment. And yes, of course, you celebrate and it's exciting. But at the same time, it doesn't always add up quite to your anticipation. And so I learned, I think, you know, and I really, you know, wrote about this topic, about the idea that it's not all about arriving. It's about the entire process leading you to where you are. And I think that we are in our quest, like you talked about, being ambitious and running to that next stage and wanting to get ahead, we're so focused on what's going to come in the future that we forget to really celebrate and be mindful of the not only the accomplishments, but the challenges that you're learning and growing from along the way.
Yeah. And it is really easy, at least I feel this way sometimes, it's really easy to kind of get disillusioned or thinking that that next thing is going to be that next big thing. And really it's the compound effect of all of these things, you know, put together. And sometimes, you know, when you accomplish that big thing, you're like, oh, I was thinking that, you know, being at the pinnacle was going to be something else or whatever. And the reality is that all of us can lose sight of the value of the journey, as you just described, and that you are way more awesome, amazing, beautiful, incredible, intelligent, and gifted than we give ourselves credit for. Mm. And sometimes we lose sight of that. In fact, every day we probably lose sight of that, you know, either expecting more, or not giving ourselves the grace when something didn't go 100% perfect or something like that. And so enjoy the journey because there's so much value in that.
Absolutely. But at the same time, as you mentioned, that we do have to be focused on our future. So how, Stephen, especially in an area, we talk about marketing, everything related to digital work, technology, podcasting, how do you stay current? How do you keep learning? How do you anticipate the next trend so that you're one step ahead?
Well, so here I'll just kind of come full circle, you know, back to the podcast again, or maybe circle around to the podcast again. You know, much like you, you get to interview, you know, smart people and hang out with smart people. And really on Tuesdays, I'm interviewing between 7 to 8 people a day or during that day. And so it's like going to a master's class or a graduate level series of courses that day. I get to hang out with super smart people like Naftali and many others where I'm like, I end a Tuesday and I'm thinking, what in the world was that? I mean, it's like, you know, a master's class in leadership and lead gen and mentorship and critical skills. So the way that I stay current is hanging out really smart people like you and all of our other Onward Nation guests, because it is an incredible learning opportunity.
You do know, by the way, that all of the Lead to Succeed listeners are going to want to be asking you for eavesdropping access to these conversations. But of course, if everyone just gets onto the podcast, they'll hear everything that you were talking about and then some, which is fantastic. So definitely you want to be listening to Onward Nation on a regular basis, because there's so much fantastic content on there. And if I could make a small contribution to it, I'm honored that I was able to do so. But I know you've got a great list of guests on a regular basis in all different areas that are making fantastic contributions. So thank you for that, Stephen.
Very well.
We're going to transition now into our rapid fire segment. And here we're going to lighten the load a little bit, but also give people a little bit of a backside view, if you will, lifting the curtain, understand you on a little bit more of a personal level. So if you could plaster a message on a massive billboard, what would it say?
Fear and procrastination are the enemies of success.
Mm, okay. Put it on a billboard near me, please. I think that would be very useful. Best thing about living in Wisconsin?
You know, this is painful for me to admit. I have really started to appreciate winter. Even though I've been here for 24 years, I've always lived in the northern tier. But I've really started to appreciate winter, and we're just about to get into the thick of it. So
yeah.
I love it. It's a great time of year.
I actually spent 12 years in Chicago, and whether it was going to a venue with the school that I worked in at the time, or actually heading up to Minneapolis, cutting through Wisconsin on the way, I spent quite a few hours on the road in the wintertime in Wisconsin, and it is cold. It is cold, but it's beautiful. It really is. It's a beautiful state.
Yes, sir, it is.
Book that you most often gift or recommend?
Right now, and this kind of goes in waves, but right now, Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin.
It's on the shelf behind me.
Yeah, it is. It is phenomenal.
Beautiful.
I think I've read it 5 times in the last 12 months. It's incredible.
Now, if Lead to Succeed Nation hasn't picked up on it, Stephen's got fantastic energy, and especially when he gets behind the mic, you seem to raise it to another level. So what is your energy secret sauce that isn't coffee?
Well, I do love coffee and Mountain Dew. I probably drink way too much of it. But I think, you know, all joking aside, I think it's when you get a chance to do something that you really, really love, that is, whether you call that, you know, you're working in your genius or you're doing your vital function or like whatever word you want to put on it. Like when you're doing something that you really, really enjoy, I think your energy level just goes along with it because it's like effortless, it's fun, it's mentally engaging and stimulating. You're hanging out with super really smart people. You're getting to learn through the conversation. So it's like, how can my energy level not go up when I get to hang out with really smart people like you and others?
Right. That's awesome. I feel the same way whenever I do like a keynote or a presentation, something similar. And, you know, during the presentation, you're just alive. When you're done, you might crash, but while you're doing it, it's absolutely alive. And it feels like everything is just firing in all cylinders. What a beautiful way to end our formal conversation. So Stephen, take a minute, please, and talk a little bit more about your work. How can people find you and really benefit from interacting and engaging with you more?
Well, you can find us at predictiveroi.com. That's our core business. You can find our podcast at onwardnation.com. You can find our most recent book, Profitable Podcasting, out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere that sells books and bookstores and so forth and whatnot. If you'd like to get a kind of a sample out of the book for free, you're certainly welcome to do that. And that's onwardnation.com/free chapter. So /free chapter, no spaces or hyphens or anything. So those are probably a couple of the best ways.
Awesome. And we're going to leave all of those links in the show notes as well. So Lead to Succeed listeners, please make sure to take full advantage of all those awesome resources. I've been on Stephen's websites. There's lots of gold in there. And I certainly encourage you to take a look as well. So Stephen, before you go, leave us with one final life lesson.
I think the lesson that I'd like to leave your listeners with is your inner circle really matters. And we've probably all heard, you know, the Jim Rohn statement of you're the average of the five people you spend your most time with. There's a lot of value there. Coach John Wooden, decades before that, who is one of the greatest coaches in all of sports, but he said that you will never outperform your inner circle. And then my grandfather, decades before that, when he, you know, immigrated here from Greece, you know, he said, "Show me somebody's friends and I will know everything I need to know about that person." Who you spend your time with impacts the trajectory of your life, in my opinion, greater than anything else that you could do for your business, for your family, for your personal life, whatever. If you spend time with people who are not moving at the same pace and tempo, you will slow down. If you're walking through the mall with four or five friends and they slow down, what do?
You slow down.
Right. And then if you're walking through the mall with five friends and they happen to be speeding up, what do?
The same, pick it up.
Right. And so to think that same sort of subtle behavior doesn't happen within your business circle is just telling yourself a lie. And so your inner circle will impact the trajectory of your business, your life, more than anything. So make sure that you're walking through the mall with the right people.
You know, I think it was worth getting on this podcast just to have that last piece. What an unbelievable message. And it actually resonates with me on a number of levels, personally, professionally, and religiously, because from my Jewish faith, there's actually quite a few concepts, both in the written and oral tradition, that talk about the value of friends and value of relationships and neighbors and whatnot. So what a powerful way to end. Stephen, thank you so much for coming on today to Lead to Succeed, sharing all of this wisdom, all of this, really getting us into your story of growth and next steps and working through challenge. And I really hope that all of our listeners are going to take full advantage of connecting with you and really learning from you and hopefully growing from that experience.
Well, I would be delighted and honored in however those conversations, you know, take place. But it was an honor to be asked. It was an honor to have, you know, this conversation with you, Naftali. So I am grateful. Thank you very much for the invitation. It was a pleasure to be your guest.
My pleasure. And as we are on the front doors of winter, I hope that you really enjoy this coming one and all the beauty and all of the, you know, clarity of air and all the niceness that that really emerges from that special season. I look forward to staying in touch with you, continuing to learn from you. and maintaining and deepening our relationship.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much, my friend.
Today's leadership quote is from Woodrow Wilson. You are not here merely to make a living. You are here in order to enable the world to live more amply, with greater vision, with a finer spirit of hope and achievement. You are here to enrich the world, and you impoverish yourself if you forget the errand. And I think that we learned all about this in our conversation today with Stephen. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and for investing in yourself so that you could lead to succeed. Before you go, don't forget to head over to impactfulcoaching.com, where you could sign up for our blog, download a free leadership ebook, and so much more. Wishing you a great day and continue to lead to succeed.